Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast. And as always, you could head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcasts that is updated daily, all day, every day. And please share those on social media. We are looking forward to the show tonight with Jeff Dornick, who is a host on the Freedom First Network. But you know, Rob, at one time, you and I, we both really liked Attorney General Bill Barr. We even defended him when people would tell us he was deep state. Well, Rob, we were wrong. Bill Barr is undoubtedly a weak, ineffective, turncoat Benedict Arnold traitor, loser. I am so glad President Trump recently called him out. What are your thoughts on Bill Barr?
First off, I want to say congratulations to Deanna Price and Brooke Anderson, the Olympic throwers. They haven't really received a lot of attention due to one of the participants stealing the entire show, sucking the oxygen out of the room, grandstanding. I won't even mention her name, but to Deanna Price and Brooke Anderson, congratulations. Represent our country well in the Olympics. I also want to say that Bill Barr is a complete disgrace to his profession. I had such high hopes for Bill Barr. I thought that Bill Barr was going to get the job done. And I guess he did, in his opinion. He came in. He squashed the entire Russia collusion. He failed to really expose Bob Mueller and his deficits, his cognitive issues. And when I think about it, maybe he did so because he was, you know, afraid. After all, remember, Mueller's wife and Barr's wife do Bible study together. It might have made it, you know, kind of uncomfortable if the husbands were going after each other. But still, Bill Barr, what the heck did you not do? I just don't get it. And where is John Durham? Where is John Durham hiding? All these questions we need to have answered. And we thought they were going to be answered. I don't know, Andrew. I mean, maybe it's just that you and I were expecting too much from our government. Maybe we're reading too much into this. People that we thought were for the government. And this isn't a Trump, necessarily a Trump thing. It's a do the right thing kind of thing. Bill came in, and in his own words, I can pull the tape. And he called out the discrepancies. He called out the issues with Russia collusion, with the elections, mail-in ballots. And then all at once, it's like a complete turn with, oh no, there's nothing to see here, move on. I just want to get out of office. I want to go back home and retire. What made you retire in turmoil with no peace? I can't believe there's so many deep swampers on the Hill. I can't believe there's so many people that are afraid to stand up for what's right. You know, our guest tonight, Jeff Dornick, I've listened to his show and he's right on the money. He has come out each time there has been an issue out there in the public spectrum, and he has just like broken it down. I really appreciate his comments on COVID-19 and the vaccine. And we're not telling people not to take the vaccine. We're not saying that the vaccine isn't helpful, but the way he breaks it down on his show, I thought, I got to have this guy here. And why do I have him here? Because we have got to support each other. Because the news that we're getting out here, the mainstream, it's not necessarily the news, more so propaganda, and they're pushing an agenda. And I see this not only on the left, but sometimes on the right. We got to start supporting each other. We got to start supporting these independent news orgs that are out there, because that's the only way we can get the news out there, the real news. Now, once we establish ourselves, then we can start competing and saying, hey, listen to me, don't listen to that guy. But even with that, I doubt that would happen. It's more so that there's a variety of news that's out there that you can listen to other than fake news, CNN, PMSNBC, and Fox. Well, like a sly fox, that's how you got to look at Fox News. Because a lot of these guys are letting us down as far as this dissemination of information that we so need. And just imagine if we were getting this information the way we should be getting it. So I would encourage you all, as I do every night on our show, don't take my word for it. I'm merely giving you little nuggets to go and investigate. You have the internet. Whatever I say, prove me wrong. Come back to me. Put it in the comments when you see the podcast. Prove me wrong if you don't agree with what I'm saying. I'm up for the debate. But we've got to start utilizing other means of media to get the news out there and to find what's out there. Because if you don't, if you snooze, you lose. And there's so much out there that they're not telling us, what our government is not telling us, as we started out with, talking about Bill Barr. There's a whole lot of stuff that's out there. Look at this so-called insurrection of January 6th. You know, the FBI's involvement, Christopher Wray, Rudy Giuliani. Look at what they're doing to Rudy Giuliani, suspending his license. Whereas I'm sure that a lot of you have forgotten that there were two lawyers in Brooklyn, New York, that firebombed a police car. They're still practicing law. Did you guys know that? That's all quiet as is kept. But Rudy Giuliani, we've got to shut him down. And while we're at it, we got to continue to go after Donald Trump, just in case he decides to run for president. We want to shut that down. And we want to shut down anyone in any conversation about the virus, the origins, about the vaccine, about the election being stolen. It's right in our face. They're showing us this in our face. And now you have the Democrats saying, we want to run the election. We want to control it. We got a better way of doing it. We want to take it to the federal level. Are you serious? You guys can't even get New York's election right. But they're telling us that they have the plan. And so many people have fallen prey to what they're saying. Well, let's give it to them. And not only the left, as I said before, even the right. And their rhino ways. Well, we're going to vote for them because we don't like what the left, what the right is doing. We don't like the Republicans. I'm tired of it. They're always on Twitter. But yet and still, every time the left has a message, they're on Twitter with the message. But you didn't like it when Trump was on Twitter. You see how they trick you? You see how they flip the script? And like little sheeples, little rhinos, we fall for it. It is time to wake up. So as I said on our show tonight, Jeff Dornick. So without further ado, we're going to bring Jeff on. Jeff, how is it going, my man?
Very good. Very good. How are you guys doing?
Good. So what do you think about my opening?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a great opening statement. And I think so in dealing both with, you know, you covered three of the topics that I've been, you know, dealing with a lot lately, which, you know, I've been dealing with Bill Barr and realistically what we're seeing with the deep state. I've been covering a lot when it comes to COVID-19 and then obviously a lot when it comes to election fraud. And it's really interesting how I think the main crux of the issue that we have on the conservative side that I think you were kind of hitting on right there at the very end, but it's a very, very important point that we need to understand. Is that for too long, conservatives are being nothing but reactionary to the left. And I think what oftentimes that happens is we get sucked into each of these individual issues, whether it's election fraud, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's Bill Barr, whether it's Rudy Giuliani, whatever it might be, we get sucked into these issues. And then we just react to whatever the left says. So if the left says something, we respond with the exact opposite. And that got us in trouble when it came to Juneteenth. It got us in trouble when it comes to critical race theory. It's getting us in trouble when it comes to January 6th and all these issues. And to me, what we need to do is we need to take a step back. We need to look at the big picture. What's really going on here? Because I feel like we're getting sucked in further and further and further into these debates and these arguments. And they're important debates and arguments to have. But we can't lose sight of the big picture. While we're getting suckered in and we're discussing and debating all of these individual little issues, which again are important to discuss and debate, at the same time, you combine them all together and we're literally seeing our nation being destroyed right before our eyes. And for me, that's one of the big things that we have to understand. This is not just about a debate over whether Rudy Giuliani should have his attorney lawyer license revoked. It's not just an issue about Bill Barr and why didn't he actually do anything and why is he turning on Trump now? It's not even just an issue about election fraud. It's about the big picture. What's going on? And the only way we say it is we take a step back, we look at everything. When we look at everything, there's a lot going on all at the same time, and we're seeing the destruction of our country happen right in front of our eyes. We've got to understand that there's a war waging while we're fighting all these little battles. And so for me, it's just a general principle is understand the general landscape, the overall picture of what's going on, as you're fighting these individual battles and understand all of this is actually connected. These are not individually random coincidences. This is all happening at the same time, intentionally orchestrated by the Democrat Party.
I agree. And it's been happening for quite some time. Now it's coming to, it's being manifested. Long since, they've had this agenda in place. And now they have their soldiers that are stepping forward and they are now enacting their plan. And we're sitting there, like you said, behaving reactionary and then stepping into fights that are useless as opposed to saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to move forward full steam. But it's like we're gun shy. We can't do it. Why do you think that is, Jeff?
There's a couple different problems. I think one of the problems is obviously we're dealing with a bunch of establishment Republicans and rhinos that are leading the party, and they've always been a bunch of spineless, people that have literally no guts that are not willing to take a stand for anything because all they care about is getting reelected. So in all reality, when you look at the rhinos, they just need a boogeyman on the left they can point their finger at, but then they're not actually going to fix anything. They're not actually going to do anything. And I think that that's really where we've gotten in trouble a lot when it comes to critical race theory, and we've gotten in trouble when it comes to Juneteenth and all that kind of stuff. We just completely stepped in it instead of actually responding the way that we should have strategically. But the other side of it is that a lot of our conservative commentators, the big names, the celebrities that are out there, the problem that we have on our side is that we don't have the same kind of big funding that the left has. The left, they are funded to the hilt, right? Us on the right, we got to hustle, right? That means that we are, we deal with day to day trying to get ads, trying to get sponsors, trying to build up our name, trying to build up our audience. And the thing is that conservatives know the way you get clicks, which is the way that the majority of conservative talking heads, the way that they get paid is clicks to their website. They've got to say something controversial. So basically what they do is they just respond to the left. So they'll pick out a lefty like AOC and Bernie Sanders. They hear what they're saying. They respond with just the exact opposite, and then they attack them, and then that gets them a bunch of clicks. Well, the problem with that is, like I was mentioning just a second ago, we had this issue with Juneteenth, where instead of taking the proper response to this, and I'll explain what that is here in just a second, we just took the exact opposite approach of what the Democrats said. So the Democrats are implementing, and they passed legislation to make Juneteenth an official holiday. And then you had all these Republicans and conservatives like Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens and all these people running around saying, this is a stupid holiday. This isn't real. We're only going to celebrate July 4th. We're not going to celebrate Juneteenth. That's stupid. We should, it's not a holiday, all this kind of stuff. When we should have actually been saying, actually, Democrats, we're going to vote for this. And thank you so much for implementing President Donald Trump's agenda, because this was originally his idea. And on top of that, thank you for acknowledging that it was the first Republican president who actually freed the slaves, and that it was actually the Democrats who fought against it, and the Democrats who enforced Jim Crow laws, and the Democrats who are actually enforcing systemic racism today. Thank you so much for pushing that narrative for us. That should have been our message. We would have won that narrative war all day long. Instead, we took the Candace Owens approach of just taking the complete opposite, going for controversy, going for ratings, and then just fighting against the boogeyman on the left. And this happens over and over and over again. And then we wonder why we send Republicans to Washington, D.C. Like, why don't they actually get anything done? What? Look at Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, he yelled at Jack Dorsey. Why didn't he fix a Section 230? Well, because all he cared about was the clicks and going viral and all that kind of stuff. This is the problem that we have on our side, is we don't have principled people. We have people that are looking to go viral, build up their image, get a bunch of clicks. And in my opinion, that's the biggest problem that we have on our side of the aisle.
And how do we correct that? Like you said, we have a lot of people that are there. They talk a good talk. Look at Ted Cruz. A lot of people, they love him because of him going after Jack Dorsey and saying, why didn't you do this? And why didn't you do that? You look at Josh Hawley. He has been sounding the alarm since he got to the Hill about China. He's saying these are some of the things we need to do. Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. You have all these people with good intentions that are speaking and talking, but to get the other Republicans to coalesce behind them and say, okay, how do we push this forward? Whereas when you have the Democrats going after Marjorie Taylor Greene, all of the Republicans, okay, let's take her off her committees. Let's silence her. But you have Ilhan Omar. She's still anti-Israel. She still comes back. She double downs over and over again. And what do? We raise our hand and say we should kick her off, but I don't see that concerted effort, that push to do it. Why is it? Why can't we do it?
Because our leadership doesn't actually believe what all of us conservatives actually believe, right? So when you look at the Democrat platform, the Democrats in general, they try to play off as moderates and middle of the road people, but they're really extremely progressive. We have the opposite problem within the Republican Party, where our Republican leadership, they try to play as if they're extreme conservatives, when in reality, they're moderate, if not leftist altogether. So when you're dealing with somebody like Ilhan Omar, and she says something extreme and anti-Israel and all the insane, crazy, just utter horrific things that she said, the Democrats don't censor her. They don't take her positions away. Why? Because they actually agree with her. When push comes to shove, they actually agree with her, even though she's far, far, far to the left. We have the opposite problem when it comes to somebody like Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene or some of these people that I would consider extreme conservatives, is that the leadership, they don't believe what you and I believe. Like, you and I believe in freedom and limited government and getting government out of our lives and lower taxes and all these things, and the America First agenda in general. Our Republican leadership doesn't actually believe it. So then when Marjorie Taylor Greene says what you and I all agree is true, our establishment Republicans, they would rather cater to the left. They'd rather cater to the Democrats. Why? Because when push comes to shove, they actually agree with the establishment crowd in DC, whether it's Democrat or Republican. They don't actually agree with us. They talk a great game. And I use this example all the time. When we look at CPAC, that happened earlier this year, and President Trump spoke there, that was like the meeting of the minds of rhinos. And all the rhinos, they get up on stage and they give a bunch of lip service to President Trump and like, yes, the Republican Party, we are the party of Donald Trump. We are going to push the America First agenda. And everybody from Kevin McCarthy to whoever it is, they get up there and they just bravo Donald Trump. We've got your back. We've got your back. All the while, they're actually stabbing him in the back the entire time, if not straight on in the face. But then President Trump gets up there and he speaks and they are all riding his coattails, right? But when push comes to shove, they don't want Trump as their leader. They just need him as an endorsement because Donald Trump has so much sway over the MAGA crowd. So when it comes to Marjorie Taylor Greene, when it comes to Lauren Boebert, the establishment crowd hates them because they actually represent the everyday MAGA crowd, the everyday Trump supporter that they hate, that they despise. They despise Donald Trump, but they're sucking up to him. And this is where we have to be careful. They're sucking up to him and giving him lip service because they need him in order to get elected, not because they actually believe in his agenda. So when push comes to shove, the Democrats actually agree with Ilhan Omar. The Republicans disagree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's why there's a difference in strategy and implementation and reaction to both of these extremes.
I've always said that about Kevin McCarthy. Never trusted the guy, even Lindsey Graham. I know that a lot of people love Lindsey Graham, and I know that Lindsey Graham is always saying, I was speaking to the president, I was saying this, but when push comes to shove, when it really counts, when we really need them to stand up, they're nowhere to be found. You don't see them. And all of those rhinos who fought that January 6th, they sat back, they came out, and they started attacking the president without knowing all of the facts that are now coming out. The incident that happened at the church with the Bible, all of them that came out and attacked him, not knowing what really happened, just to please and to satisfy the left. They didn't want to be seen as, well, because, you know, in actuality, I think they thought this was going to be it. We're going to put the knife in him and then we'll be done with him. But when they saw that he still had the support, he still had the MAGAs, it's like, oh, wait a minute. We haven't gotten rid of him yet. Look at Mitch McConnell. He came out on the floor and spoke against the president. And now he's kind of waffling like, oh, let me get back in here because he might be coming back. The movement is more than Donald Trump. Yes, he's a messenger, but it's more than just that. It is the basic principles of conservatism. And like you said, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, these are the people that have it, the regular man, the everyday people. And what we do, like you said, reactionary, stepping into it all the time, unable to get out of it. And then we end up looking like the monsters that the left have created. And it's like, but guys, you do this all the time. Can't you see what's happening? But we don't. We're constantly fighting a battle. It's like, don't die on this hill. When they first came out with the Juneteenth, I'm like, don't die on that hill. Forget about it. Move on. Trump thought of that when he first said that he was going to bring his rally back in 2020 in Oklahoma. I immediately said, this is what he should do. He should make this. He should say, we're going to make this a holiday. But no, we wanted to go backwards and forwards and fight with it. No, Andrew, I know that you view this completely different as far as Juneteenth. And we've talked about it. But I felt that we should have just went ahead and then moved on and taken victory from the mouths of the Democrats.
Yeah, it just feels like inch by inch, mile by mile, we've given in over the decades to the radical left. Police reform, education reform, election reform, gun reform, speech reform. That's how we got into this mess. I didn't think it was a good idea in the first place, and I just didn't think we should have went along with it.
And you know why that it feels that way? Because we are not embedded in education. Look at our educational system. A majority of the people that are teaching our kids are liberals. Look at the college system. Yes, there are some conservatives, but we're few and we're far in between. You look at the government, just look out there, look at Hollywood. There are conservatives that are there, but a majority of the people that run these big movie houses are liberals. We've given it up. We've given up on it. And as you said, Jeff, they have huge money machines that's behind them that just keep churning out their message over and over again. Are we in big tech? No, we're not there. There is money within the party, and we could change this as opposed to being reactionary. Why don't we get out there and do it? Look at Parler when Parler went down, and Parler has not been the same since. Why is that? Why don't we have a platform to get our message out there? Ben Shapiro's platform should not be the only platform that's out there getting attention. But it is. And when they're out there, sometimes they will concede. They want to click, so they'll make everything controversial. As opposed to looking at, wait a minute, this is where we stand. We had Ricky Rebel on not too long ago. Now, a lot of people would question, oh, why is he on? He's representing the gay element. But as he said, conservative principle, conservative ideas. Deal with the rest later on. We look at what God did. Okay, you love the person, you hate the sin. But we can't just go around creating all these different situations and trying to fight within ourselves as opposed to bringing people in. You look at the Blacks, you look at Latinos. We've had a lot of Latinos on here saying the exact same thing. We're here, talk to us. Why aren't we in those communities?
Yeah, well, I think this comes back to like what I was saying earlier, and it's a very important point that we need to understand is that even when we're coming to how wide of a tent are we going to cast within the Republican Party? I think right now we're actually in an identity crisis right now as a Republican Party. Who are we? What do we represent? I mean, I had this conversation with Dr. Carlin Borisenko on my show, and she was a part of the walkaway movement. She walked away from the Democrats, came over to the Republicans. She just walked away and went libertarian because she's like, I don't know what it means to be a Republican. Like, there is no guiding principles. And this is where I've been making the case that I think we need to have as big of a tent as we possibly can. Like you mentioned having, I think it was a Ricky Rebel on your show. And it's like, we can have this fight over gay marriage and homosexuality and all of these things within the conservative movement. That's fine. But I think what we have to do first, we got to save this country. Then we can have those fights later. Right now, we need to look at what is the biggest fight that we have to be fighting right now, and what would I be willing to unify with anybody about? For me, I'm willing to link arms with anybody. If you're dealing with election fraud, done. Let's go for it. Let's clean up the election system. Right. Number two, the issue should be on establishing that we actually have constitutional rights that cannot be taken away by our government, as we saw during the COVID-19 quote unquote pandemic. Right. So so election fraud, that should be a unifying factor. Our constitutional rights as laid out actually in the Constitution, that's another unifying factor. And then I would make my third guiding principle is that we need to cut off our enemy, China. Those three issues, to me, those should be the only main three issues that we're looking at on a national level as a Republican Party. I don't care what your view is when it comes to homosexuality. I don't care what your view is when it comes to taxes or size of government or whatever it is, right? those kinds of debates and fights we can discuss later. Right now, those three specific areas should make the Republican Party as wide of a tent as possible. And because we should be able to bring in Democrats if those are the only three issues that we're really focusing on. We shouldn't focus on all the other divisive issues because, again, all it's going to do is divide us. Focus on those three issues, and I guarantee you we would have massive, massive consensus. But instead, the Republican Party, I think they don't actually want to win. They would rather be the resistance party. They would rather be the minority party because they actually make more money when the Democrats are in control and they can point at their boogeyman and say, look at me, I'm fighting against those Democrats who are trying to take away all your rights and raise your taxes and all this kind of stuff. They're not actually going to fix anything, but they're going to raise money saying that they're fighting against them. That's why they do those viral videos. That's why they actually wanted Trump to get out of office so that way Republicans could start raising more money, get reelected, because they're more powerful in the minority as individuals than they are in the majority.
We're here with Jeff Dornick, host on the Freedom First Network, and you are tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the shows. We will be back with more after the break.
Incredible years, and we're just getting started. Well, they say time flies when you're having fun. Well, it also flies by when you're on a mission of love. Love of country, that is. Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. You can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. AmericaOutloud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Hell, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
And we are back with our guest, Jeff Dornick. And man, we have covered a lot of topics within the first 30 minutes of the show. And I guess you can tell that I have taken my Healthy Cell vitamins. I would encourage you all to go to HealthyCell.com and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any of the products that are there. I would definitely recommend that Joe Biden, he's kind of feeble-minded. You know, the cognitive issues that he's suffering. Joe, contact me or tell your staff to get in contact with my people who will get in contact with your people, and we'll hook you up. But I definitely think that you need some Healthy Cell because the issues that you're suffering with right now does not look good. Just the other day, I saw him meeting with the president of Israel. And in plain sight, They're both sitting there next to each other. Joe had his Cliff Notes, and there was no shame to his game. It was embarrassing. And you know what? Not a soul mentioned it. No one on CNN, PMSNBC, not even Fox News. But of course, on After Dark with Rob and Andrew, I mentioned it. I called it out because it was embarrassing. This guy should be able to sit down with world leaders and have a conversation. Now, we all know that Barack Obama used a teleprompter. Trump didn't use a teleprompter. He spoke extemporaneously. Why can't Joe do the same thing? I think Healthy Cell would definitely help him. He would benefit from it because the vitamin B that they're shooting him up with is not working. And I said before, I also want him to take a cognitive test. There are clearly some issues that are there. Why hasn't he? Why haven't people demanded that he take a test? I don't trust this guy with the nuclear codes. Joe, if you're listening, if there's anyone on his staff that's listening, please, healthycell.com, go to it. I would encourage you to go to it and, you know, shop around a little bit. Now, going back to our topics, when we're going on break, Jeff was mentioning three things that he thinks that the Republicans should focus in on. And I agree with him. We have got to stop being reactionary and become laser focused. And one of the reasons why I agree with him when he's saying reactionary, because you look at what Republicans do. Case in point, we talk about the violence that's taking place. And then we all like to point to Chicago. Happens all the time. We point it out, but what are we doing about it? When President Trump was in office, I always said he should go to Chicago. I know that Rahm Emanuel didn't want him there. And Lori Lightfoot, she definitely shut the door on him coming. We can't always point to these blue states and say, well, you have violence there. And we're not doing anything. Why aren't we running candidates in Chicago? I know that Chicago is a blue city. But as you've heard before on After Dark with Rob and Andrew, from the Latino community, the ones that are running for office, and they've said, I live near the border. I live in Texas, red state. I live near the border. And the cities here are blue. But we've got a chance of winning this if Republicans would get behind us. Why aren't they doing it? Why aren't we sending people to Chicago and talking to the individuals? It might be uncomfortable, Black community, but the values that those Black people have are the same values as conservatives. And it angers me when I see that we're just walking away from the table. We talk about it and we say, oh, look at the violence in Chicago. Okay, Mr. Republican, what are you doing? You should get there, boots on the ground, as one candidate said. We need to get out there and we need to become laser focused to bring these people in the party because they're hungry. And if the only thing they see is Democrats that saying, we're going to give you free money and we're going to do this, as opposed to saying, hey, we're going to help you to become self-sufficient. Look at how Trump increased the votes of Blacks, Black men, double digits, because Black men, they're tired of being led by the Democrats. They're tired of being treated like beta males. They want alpha males. And that was the attraction for Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump isn't the all to be all. If another candidate comes up, we would support him. It just so happened that he was a face. He was talking the talk that a lot of us wanted to hear. But we don't want to forget what we can do. All of us, get out there, choose your battles. Now, Jeff, go back over the three topics that you feel that we should become laser focused on, because I think it's important. And I agree with you.
So the three issues that, and again, these are the issues that I think that this would make the Republican Party a big tent. And once we accomplish these issues or we make serious headway, then we can focus on, we can narrow the field, and then we start getting to some of the more divisive issues, right? But to me, the three main issues that we need to focus on, number one is election fraud. Cleaning up the election, getting the election rules correct, getting Dominion out of there, getting the voting machines out of there, and setting the actual rules with paper ballots and cleaning it up and eliminating fraud once and for all. That should be priority number one. Number two should be preserving each of our constitutional rights that have been taken away by the Democrats during COVID-19. And we've seen that in the Democrats' mind, we don't actually have constitutional rights. So one of the things that we've got to really focus on is that we've got to limit the government. Get the government out of our life, restrict the government to the specific roles that are laid out to it in the Constitution of the United States, and then really focus on candidates that will actually preserve our constitutional rights. And then number three is cutting off all ties to our enemy, the Chinese Communist Party. That means we need to cut off manufacturing. We need to cut off trade. We need to cut off travel. We need to stop spending money over there. We've got to stop allowing our movie studios to be airing their movies over there, to stop taking money from China, stop allowing China to invest in our own country, stop allowing China to fly over here and then have their spies come over and sleep with people like Eric Swalwell. Like, we've got to cut them off. They are our enemies. And so we've got to treat them as such. Cut them off 100% all the way. So those three issues, I think if we made that the Republican Party mission statement, eliminate all the rest of the controversial issues, all the rest of the things that divide the Republican Party, focus on those three levels on a national level. Once we accomplish those three things, then we can get into discussions over gay marriage or discussions over the scope of taxes or inflation or all these different things that divide us. Focus on those three issues first, and then we'll deal with the controversial stuff later.
We definitely need to focus on election fraud. We need to get to the bottom of all this, because if we don't in 2022, while a lot of people think that this is going to be a cakewalk for the Republicans because of this whole issue with violence, defunding the police, it's not going to be as easy. Because if they cheated in 2020, and if they're changing the way we vote, they're going to do the same thing in 2022. Now, how is it that we would concede to this HR 1 that the Democrats are pushing when in a huge state like New York, city like New York, they can't even get the votings right? So why do we think they can do it at a federal level? We've got to focus in on that. And if we don't clean it up, 2022, boom, we'll lose that. 2024, forget about it. I don't care how much fever we say we have and we're excited, we're going to do this. It's all for naught if we don't clean up our elections. Constitutional rights that have been taken away. COVID-19 was a perfect storm. Everyone go inside. Don't say anything. Don't go to grandma's. You better wear your mask. Not one mask, two masks. And we're going to sit and we're going to wait. And we're going to see how many people are going to die. And if we stay in for a little bit, then you could come out. Okay, we stayed in. Oh, nope, go back in. You can't come out now until you take the vaccine. And if you don't take the vaccine, you can't fly. If you don't take the vaccine, you can't go to a concert. And people buy it. Oh, I can't do this. You can't go to the store. Now, we were told you can walk outside without the mask. No, put the mask back on. And see how easy it was for them to get us to do this? See how easy it was that we just acquiesced and felt nothing of it? I'm like, are you serious? This was just a test. It was the beginning to see what can we take away from them and put fear in their hearts. And now it's everyone has to take the vaccine first, only those people with underlying conditions. And then they move the goalpost. Okay, no, we want people that are in their 50s and their 60s. No one said anything. I'm not saying don't take the vaccine. I am not saying that. I'm sure that for those individuals that have underlying conditions, it's helping them. But still, look at how now they've changed it to we want the teenagers. Before long, we want the young children. We want everyone vaccinated. Why? Why are they pushing that everyone must be vaccinated for you to have your constitutional rights, God-given rights under the Constitution? And if you don't, you cannot be a productive member of society. You can't go to work. We don't want you working here. They're now allowing companies to deny you. No, you've got to take the vaccine. And then if we go to the courts, oh, well, they've already packed the courts. They already have liberal judges that will agree with them. As I said in the first segment, this just didn't happen yesterday. This was all by design. It goes all the way back decades ago when they were pushing all this stuff to our kids, climate change, our kids becoming little activists. So now you have those same little kids from the 80s that are in these high positions. And of course, they're going to support it. Our constitutional rights are being taken away and people don't realize it. Look at the devastation that it had on the jobs. And what are they doing? Well, we're going to give you free money. You rely on the government. We're the people that will give you money, not the Republicans. They're not going to give you anything. We're going to help you survive. When you're giving people money, they will keep asking for more. They become dependent upon the government. Little socialist, little communist. Look at Venezuela. Folks, we got to wake up. Cutting off ties with our enemies. China. Goes back to the very first topic, election fraud. Do not doubt that this entire COVID deal was not by design and it was tied into the election because Trump was standing up against China. As I said, Josh Hawley, he sounded the alarms early on. People, oh, he's crazy. He and Tom Cotton, they're all crazy. What are they talking about? Little by little, the truth is coming out. And the fake news can't deny it. Now, they sat on it and tried to squash it along with big tech. If you said anything against China, boom, they cut you off. You said anything negative about the virus, the vaccine, they cut you off. They silence your voices. But now slowly it's coming out. That is the reason why you have mediums like ourselves, After Dark with Robin Andrew, America Out Loud, that's out there, that's talking. And we're saying, hey, listen, look at us. Look at what's happening. We've got to wake up. China is not our friend. China could care less as to what we're doing. China wants world domination. Why are we still allowing businesses to do business with China? Why is China saying, if you don't change this in your movie, we're not going to play it? And what does Hollywood do? Okay, we're going to change it. Why is China telling Google, no, when you're doing your algorithm, we don't want our people to be able to Google anything negative about China? And Google acquiesce. How do we know that they're not telling Google, oh, we want information on all the American citizens that's using Google? How do we know that's not happening? Look at Twitter. We want that. We want to get in. We want part of that huge population that China has, that huge market. We'll do whatever they want us to do. And we're sitting there seeing this happening. People are calling out the alarms, but they're looking at greed. They're looking at the money, our bottom line. What is the use of having a bottom line if you don't have your constitutional rights? What is the use? Bill Gates, he talked about a virus with TEDx a couple of decades ago. He's going around buying all the farmland. Folks, there is a connection here. All of this. And as I've always said, I'm putting it out there. I'm giving you the nuggets. You go and do your own research. Well, I can't find it. Google isn't allowing me to look for it. Okay, you go to DuckDuckGo. There are other platforms that are out there for you to do your research, but we cannot be complacent. We cannot buy what they're telling us. We have got to wake up.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with both of you. Election fraud, we have to get taken care of. We've been saying for a long time that we're not satisfied with the 2020 election, and the Democrats cannot run an election for the sake of them. You look at New York, you look at what happened in Iowa when they tried to start off their election. It was a disaster from day one, and we've seen it continue into the presidential election. Mail-in voting, this ballot harvesting, so many things have just screwed up the integrity of our election, and at least half of the citizens in our country do not trust that it's a fair election system now. And like Jeff said, we have to preserve our freedom, limit the government, and focus on our constitutional rights. I could not agree with him more on all of that. And yeah, cut off communist China.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing I think as well that's kind of going along with what you were saying, Rob, is that if there's a random lefty that happens to be listening to the show, they listen to what you're saying and they're like, it sounds like a wild conspiracy theory, right? Because like literally, like you were saying, it's like I'm going on Google. I'm searching all this stuff. I don't see anything about vaccines or COVID-19 or Bill Gates or election fraud or whatever it is. Like I'm searching. You're telling me to search. I'm searching. I don't see it. But this is all a part of the conspiracy. Like, and here's the reality. A conspiracy is literally just something that is done in secret by multiple people. That's all that a conspiracy is. And then a theory is just we're theorizing about what is actually being done in secret that we can't see right in front of our eyes, but we're looking at the evidence and piecing it all together. So here's the massive conspiracy that we're really looking at here is that when you're looking at COVID-19, you're looking at the vaccines, you're looking at election fraud, all of this is connected in different ways. Now, I think that each of these are kind of moving parts and they each have their own purpose, but in all reality, these are all interconnected. They're all working together for one big common purpose. Now what's interesting about all of this is that big tech, both Google, social media, and then also the mainstream media, they're all colluding with the Democrats, with the globalists like Bill Gates and many, many others in order to silence anybody who happens to question their narrative. Now, why would they be doing that unless they're covering up something? Now, here's another interesting piece of the puzzle that we haven't really hit on. When we're talking about the COVID-19 vaccine specifically, what's interesting, and I know you're saying like, you know, we're not telling you not to get the vaccine, but here's the reality. technically, on a technical level, these vaccines should not be on the market. So these are actually authorized for emergency use authorization. So the only way that they can actually be allowed on the market is if there are actually no viable and safe treatments for COVID-19. Well, here's the reality. There are. It's called hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. The problem is, and when we look at big tech, we look at YouTube's terms of services, they ban you from even mentioning those terms. We saw that with Brett Weinstein and Dr. Pierre Corey when they discussed the scientific and peer-reviewed studies that show the effectiveness and safety of ivermectin. They completely silenced it, kicked it off their platform. I believe Brett Weinstein lost his YouTube channel over this, right? They're covering this up. Why? Because if those were allowed on the marketplace and those were recognized as safe and viable treatments to both prevent as well as treat COVID-19, every single one of those COVID-19 vaccines would not be allowed on the market unless it had gone through the entire testing process, gone through and become FDA approved, which can take years to happen, but they would lose a lot of money in order to do that. But the question that I have though, is this really all due to money? And the reason why I ask that is because they're literally pushing for every man, woman, and child to get an experimental drug that has not gone through FDA testing, has not been proven safe. We don't know the long-term effects of this. We don't know if there's going to be reproductive issues. We don't know if there's going to be birth defects. We don't know anything about what's going to happen in the future, right? And so the problem that we have now is that they're pushing for 100% vaccination of every man, woman, and child. I don't care what side effects, what conditions, if you're pregnant, if you're not pregnant, whatever it might be, they're pushing for everybody. When have you ever heard of anybody ever pushing for 100% vaccination? That is unheard of in medical history. There's something going on here. We don't have all the answers, but we can ask the questions. What are they not telling us? And we know that they're covering up stuff because we're seeing it right in front of our eyes. We're seeing it with ivermectin. We're seeing it with the vaccines. We're seeing it with the side effects. We're seeing it with them trying to cover up the fact that it causes heart inflammation in boys as young as 16 years old that can lead to a heart attack or stroke. And sometimes they need a heart transplant. We're seeing the massive, massive cover up. So there is a conspiracy. We don't have every single one of the details, but there is something going on that I think is bigger than any of us realize. But this is where we as conservatives, like I was saying before, we have to take a step back. We have to look at the big picture. What's going on? This is more than just each of these individual fights. These are all connected and we see them crossing over at different points. And I know I'm going to sound like I've got a tinfoil hat on, but I promise you I don't right now.
I agree with everything that you're saying. We have got to look at this. Because if you were to ask the average person about the heart issues the young boys are having from taking this vaccine, they would go, I never heard about that. You're not telling me the truth. That's a conspiracy. Well, if it sounds as though I have on a tinfoil hat, then I will put that tinfoil hat on because I think a lot of others need to do the same thing. There is something behind them pushing this. It has not been approved by the FDA, but every day we're hearing, oh, they got it approved. This person could take it. That person could take it. And originally it started out with only those individuals that have underlying conditions. Why now, if you're perfectly healthy, they're pushing you to take it? Why is it that if you've taken the vaccine, you still need to cover up? And why are people running around being concerned? Oh, you took the vaccine, you haven't had your vaccine? Well, I'm going to keep my mask on. But you've already had the vaccine. And you see how people are defending wearing a mask? As if though the mask is going to help them? And by the way, where is Dr. Fraud? I haven't seen him lately. Now that all this information is coming out about him, it seems as if though the left has said, retreat, let's protect him, go hide underground, and let's wait until it's time to give him the Pulitzer or some other Nobel Prize. Let's hide him right now. Let's let this all blow over. So no one is talking about it. Quiet as is kept, but they're still pushing the vaccine. Again, I'm not saying don't take it, but I am saying ask questions. Don't be like cheaples and just, okay, let me just go ahead and poke you in the arm, poke this in the arm and poke that. Now you look overseas and there are a lot of people, you look at India, they're suffering. The virus is real. And in my humble opinion that I would like to think is right, I do believe that this was designed by China to take out massive amounts of people. They don't like India. I remember Dr. Fauci saying, well, do we actually think that China would harm its own people, kill their own people? Hell yeah, why not? This is the same country that said you can only have one kid and now two kids and now possibly three. the same country that will not allow us to come in and investigate, the same country that funded the WHO that flip-flopped over the origin so many different times, the same country that wants world domination. We don't know what's happening behind China's walls, and we're supposed to just, oh, nothing to see here? And how the media is supporting this narrative. I mean, I was listening to your show the other day, Jeff, and I was just like, just glued to what you were saying, because you don't hear this anywhere else, because they keep telling us, oh, take the vaccine, get poked in the arm. We're bringing down the numbers, herd immunity. Why does a baby need to take this vaccine? And then you have doctors that are pushing their kids out there on TV. Well, I wanted my son to take it because I wanted everyone to know that this is okay. Okay, maybe it's okay for your son, but that's not to say it's okay for the next son. But people are just falling over backwards for this. Did you take the vaccine? If you haven't taken it, oh, I don't want to be around you. Okay, fine, go. You're dismissed. We will never get rid of those masks. They are here to stay. They're not going anywhere. They don't want them to go anywhere. And as the masks stay, it just goes back to your point number three. And I'm sorry, number two, they're taking away our freedoms. This is how they're able to do it, by scaring us all, making us think if you don't have it, you can't participate in society. And then you have neighbors turning against neighbors. Remember when this thing first hit, you had people calling the police. I think my neighbors are having a party. And I think that had nothing to do with you. That's not your business. Where else did we see that? Nazi Germany. People turning in their neighbors. I think my neighbors are Jewish. Okay, send out the police. Send out the people. Let's round them up. That's what's happening now. Some people will laugh. And as you said, I know there are some lefties that are out there that are listening because they've told me. And of course, they argue backwards and forward with me on the radio all day. I can't say anything to them back, but they will argue, you're crazy, you're this and you're that. But do not doubt that that's not what's happening. And as a result, your freedoms are taken away. And then before you realize it, what you thought you had, you no longer have. For them to be able to flip this last year and take away our freedoms by saying, stay inside, don't you dare go outside. Arresting people. Remember the scenes of people fighting at grocery stores because other people didn't have on a mask? Even in the air, on airplanes, people are fighting, pushing back. They're kicking off passengers because their kids didn't want to wear a mask. A kid! And we were told that children cannot transmit this. But we're going to kick this family off because the kid does not have on a mask. I could not see myself doing that. A kid! But yet and still, if I want to smoke, oh, you can go outside and smoke and take your mask off. Oh, you want to eat? Oh, take your mask off. What's the difference? People, look at what's happening. To me, number two is so important. Getting back our freedoms, getting back our constitutional rights, because they are taking them away. And if they're able to do it and then elect other individuals that will say, hey, take it away. You see how this interconnects? You put someone in office who will agree, take away the rights. They can't say anything. Bam, you don't have those rights anymore. We got to wake up. We have got to wake up because this is serious. And if you want to think this is a conspiracy theory, so be it. But if you look back at 2020 and you look at today, you start connecting the dots and being honest. Like I said, prove me wrong. Do your research. Go to DuckDuckGo. If you can't find it on Google, go to Yahoo. Do your own research. Listen to CNN. Listen to what they're not telling you. And then listen to what they are telling you. They're telling you the same thing, but they're dressing it up so as to make it seem as if though what we're saying is wrong.
So the interesting thing for me is that I completely turned off all news about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. So I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch Newsmax. I don't watch OAN. I don't watch CNN. I don't watch anything, right? I do.
Jeff, I hope that you're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew while you're turning.
Oh yeah, absolutely. absolutely. But here's the thing though, is that I try to go to the original source. So like, for example, when we're talking about election fraud, I didn't want to hear what Tucker Carlson said about Sidney Powell's lawsuit that she filed in Georgia, right? So what did I do? I downloaded the PDF and I spent 2 hours reading through that 100-page briefing that she submitted, and I made my own conclusion. I did the same thing when it comes to COVID-19. So like when you're talking about, like, you know, why are we like vaccinating little kids, right? Here's the actual statistics from the CDC website. You go to the CDC, you look up percentages of deaths based upon age. Did you know that 97.3% of all deaths occurred over the age of 45? 97.3% of all COVID-19 deaths happened over the age of 45 years old. That means that 2.7% of all deaths, all however many hundreds of thousands or millions of deaths that they're now claiming have died, happened under the age of 45. It literally gets into double digits when you're talking about under the age of 18, like double digit deaths. It's so small, so minuscule on a statistical level, it's almost zero. And yet we're pushing for these vaccines to be injecting in with them that are experimental. We don't know the long-term ramifications. And that's a problem. Now, here's another thing I did in my research. I don't want to hear what, again, Tucker Carlson, I don't want to hear what Wolf Blitzer, I don't want to hear what anybody says about the testing that's going on when it comes to these vaccines. I want to go to the original source. So what did I do? I went over to the Pfizer website. I downloaded their report from their testing that they did from November of 2020. So just this last November, they did a new round of testing. And here's some interesting things that I found in here. They were testing, in their testing, they were actually checking for shedding. They were actually checking for the vaccine and whether the vaccine was able to be spreadable. Here's the interesting thing. When they released the results, they didn't mention that. They didn't say whether it was actually shedding or not. I thought that was red flag number one. Now, red flag number two was that they actually kept track of the number of people who died after getting the vaccine, but they were not going to include that in the report. And they said this in their actual report. They're not including the number of people who died from that died after getting the vaccine because it's not considered a part of the statistical importance of the study. It's not included in the scope of the study. So you're telling me that we're doing testing for FDA approval to see whether this vaccine is safe, but you're not going to tell me how many people died after getting the vaccine. That should be a major red flag to every single one of us. And it shows that we're being manipulated. All of this is showing that we're being lied to and we're being manipulated. And that, to me, with all of this, is the scary thing. Is yes, we're having our constitutional rights being taken away, but the justification for it is based upon a lie. The scariness of COVID-19. Now, here's one other statistic that I found out. In the United Kingdom, in their health department, they did a study of I think up to like 70,000 people in the United Kingdom. They looked at some people who were vaccinated, some people that were not vaccinated, and they were comparing it with people who got the Delta variant, because a lot of people, like out here in California, they're telling us you got to get vaccinated because this Delta variant, it's a lot more dangerous and all this kind of stuff. Well, what did the United Kingdom find out? The United Kingdom found out that when they compared the number of deaths from people that are vaccinated to the deaths of people that were not vaccinated at all, the people who died from the Delta variant, you were 3.25 times more likely to die from the Delta variant if you had the vaccine than if you were not vaccinated at all.
Wow.
That's not what they're telling us here. But you look at the statistical analysis, that's what the actual statistics of that study showed, but nobody's talking about it. We're being lied to. That is a fact. The question is why? That's the question that we can't necessarily answer right now, but there is something going on where we are not being allowed to get this information. The information is there, the statistics are there, but you got to get past the mainstream narratives. That, to me, is the scary thing in all of this.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Tonight's hour just flew by. If you'd like to hear more from Jeff, you can check him out on the Freedom First Network. If you'd want to pick up one of his great books, Church and State or Social Injustice, head on over to gatekeepersonline.com. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who recently celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.